Well, first of all, you've accepted this position as United States Director for London-based Spring Impact, working on scalable projects worldwide. Is there some link or some connection to, or is there some similarity with that in your job at United Way?
There's a great deal of crossover, overlap, similarity. I think fundamentally what it comes down to is the concept of scalability in the social service space is about taking a good, proven idea, social program or concept, and helping it to reach more people in more places, because there is great benefit and efficiency in recognizing what works for people, also recognizing what needs to be tailored for local communities and for the different distinctions in different places and cultures, but recognizing that if we know it works, there's something to learn from it, and there's often ways to replicate a model. And so what Spring Impact does is it helps organizations that have proven success for social programs and bring those to scale to reach other parts of a region or to reach more people within the same region. Now, here in the Roanoke Valley, our United Way has become incredibly adept at doing that kind of work in partnership with the broad scope of social services in this landscape. I've been able to, at a local level, help to lead a lot of scaling work related to health intervention, related to early education work. And now with this new role, I'll be helping to lead that work globally.
So do you just see things that have been happening here and maybe changes you've been making a feed of that? You're like, hey, we need to get this out of the Roanoke Valley. We need to get this nationwide or worldwide. There are things here that will work other places?
Oh, without question. Without question. And in fact, the Roanoke Valley has so much to be proud of in the context of social work, because this community and those who do social work in that space, government, I mean, even a cross-section of those who care, are really good at working together. And because of that, we have been able to mobilize really effective programs. So I think of programs like the RISE Initiative, which is Rehousing Youth for Success in Education. It has proven successful in helping families who are struggling with homelessness, particularly who have children in the school system, get stable quickly. Well, this model is becoming really interesting to communities across the country, and it's an example of the kind of initiative that is scalable. It can work not just here, but anywhere with a few tweaks and thoughtful changes. That's also true for United Way's bigger model. The way we currently fund local social services is very different from the way most United Ways do the work. Because most United Ways fund individual programs, our United Way funds collaboratives that are focused on solving for X.
What do you mean by collaboratives?
So instead of funding individual programs and having those programs apply as individual concepts for consideration, what we instead do is we ask the social service community to come together and we say, here are the key issues that we know are keeping families from being successful. How would you create a multi-generational strategy working together to solve that problem over a period of time? And we fund partnerships instead of individual programs.
Was that something that you've helped put in place? I know when the release came out about you leaving, it talked about a fundamental change and a new strategic vision. And we're talking with Afita DeVries, Executive Director for United Way of Roanoke Valley. Is that something that you helped put in place? It sounds like a more efficient model, a more efficient way to spend donors' money.
Two key things. One is it is incredibly efficient. And not only is it efficient, it's also incredibly attractive to other funders in and beyond the region. That's one key critical thing. It attracts resources to the community. Second, yes, it's something I help to lead, but it is not my brainchild. It is the product of spending time with people who are struggling and having them tell us the reasons why I'm struggling to become stable are because there are so many different programs who might have to visit in order to get help. I just can't do it. And so this is about efficiency in terms of service delivery and efficiency in terms of making sure that we are the most attractive community for funding outside of our region, because there is nothing more attractive to a big funder than a community that works together to solve problems.
And you've been in with United Way and overall for 22 years. Afita, is it more do donors now, whether they're big or small, do they want to see more proven returns on investment? Do they want to see more evidence now than maybe 10, 15 years ago that their money's being put to good use?
100% true. Not just true for big funders, also true for corporate entities that are becoming much more sophisticated in their corporate philanthropy. But I think even more critically, this is 100% true, in my observation, for the incoming generation of business leader. So people talk a lot about millennials and all these different, you know, I don't like to get caught up in those labels. What I like to focus on is the way that the mindset around philanthropy evolves with generations. And there is no question, Gene, that this incoming generation of leader wants to know that they are getting a return on their investment the same way they do when they're making investments in their stock portfolio. And there's a much deeper emotional component to that kind of investment. But there's something really legitimate about that, about saying, if I'm going to make an investment of X amount of money, whatever my capacity is, I want to know that people are going to have a better life, or the environment is going to see a better outcome, or, you know, pick the social issue. But this is going to demonstrate some sort of rate of return. And so when an organization like the United Way, that is 140 some odd years old, recognizes that, we have to, on a very practical level, evolve also and offer people a way to invest in strategies that are absolutely measurable and can demonstrate a return.
We're talking with Afida DeVries, the outgoing executive director of United Way for Roanoke Valley. Her last day is July 19th. What do you see for United Way of Roanoke Valley going forward? You know, what would you advise the board on that you would like to see in a new executive director?
Well, I think a new leader for the organization has to – there are some selfish aspects to the answer to that, right? So I'm very, very – in fact, I would even submit to you that I've done my life's work in this community so far, not because of me as a human being, but because I've been able to tap into this collective will here and see real results. So it's selfish of me, but I think not really, to suggest that whoever follows me really needs to have an innovative, progressive – fighter's soul, one that is 100% comfortable challenging the status quo. I also think, though, that what our board needs to be looking for is someone who is prepared to negotiate through really distinct perspectives, some sort of common ground, not just with the social partners with whom we currently work and are prepared to fund, but also with the corporate sector and with the government sector, really looking for common ground so that we can come up with a shared strategy for the community. In terms of the business model, I think our organization is really poised to tap into the small business sector. United Way is really traditionally known for working with the big dogs, you know.
And this is this where you're talking about the intersection of business and nonprofits?
No doubt. And I think it's not just about, hey, give us money. I think it's about, what is your design for the impact you want to have on community, and how can we work together to create that design that meets that goal for you? Because every entity, big or small, has something at heart that they want to accomplish with their presence in a community. And it often serves a business goal, and it often serves a social goal. You know, if you're in the food service space, do you want to address hunger? And if you do, how do you do that in a way that meets your business goals also? Well, an organization like United Way is really primed to help answer those questions. And that's really, I think, the future of all social service and all large nonprofits, but particularly a real sweet spot for United Way.
When you say working with smaller businesses, is that an untapped market for your nonprofits like United Way? And how can you make a pitch to a nonprofit, to a person at a nonprofit, say, hey, look, if we help make lives better for other people in this valley, it's going to be better for you in some way?
Well, it's that, but it's also, hey, listen, let's not also not forget that this population is a potential market for you as a customer. You know, how do we engage and have a presence that reaches people whom are often dismissed as non-entities in society and are almost never is that the case? You know, so how do we create inroads with communities across socioeconomic demographics that create a presence for you and build trust and build community? And how do we create that kind of connection so that you're actually building a customer base while also serving community? One of the things that I speak to a lot, Gene, is the stereotype associated with people who struggle. I mean, for example, people don't often even recognize that the gig economy in this region is incredibly strong. And it's especially strong amongst people who are making what is considered poverty level wages. But those are also people who are scrappy and who figured out that making their mom's pies and selling them is a way to create a secondary income. Well, guess what? Those people need bank accounts. Those people need accountants. these are people who have something to offer also. They are not just in a position of having their hand out. And so when we're thoughtful about that as a community, small business or large business, we create an entirely different relationship with those who are needing a hand up.
I can see how passionate you are, Afita. And we're talking with Afita DeVries, Executive Director, United Way for Roanoke Valley. Are you going to be able to bring all this to Spring Impact?
Well, I think the most exciting thing about transitioning to Spring Impact, for me, it's two things. One is I get to do the kind of work that I really learned how to do well in Roanoke in communities around the world. And there's something extremely rewarding about that. And it's the reason why, I'm not leaving the community here yet, and also the reason why I feel so proud to have learned so much here. But the second thing is it's really an opportunity for me to continue to fuel my passion by learning about the way the issues that we deal with on a small scale, smaller scale level here are either the same or really different elsewhere. But I am motivated to do this kind of social work for reasons that I can't even explain. It's more of a calling than it is a profession for me, and I'm just excited to continue growing.
Is there something you can tell people that get to a certain point in their careers, Afita, that if they really want to take that next step, they should have the courage to do it?
Yeah, I would say don't wait for a sign. Listen to what's going on inside of you. I have loved my time in my current role, but my soul started to tell me that, and our soul talks to us, and if we're smart enough to listen, it tells us what we need to begin to do next. And I think the greatest mistake we make in life is ignoring what's being said to us from inside of us and instead listening to what's being said to us from outside of us. I have every reason in the world to stay in my job. I love it. I have a great relationship with this community. I have every reason in the world to continue doing what I'm doing, but my heart is telling me to go out into the world and see what I can do in a broader scale in a different way. And so it's about listening, but it's also about bravery and courage and harnessing the knowledge that you are ready when your heart is telling you that you're ready.